What's up, y'all? Today we're talking Pacers-Rockets. They play tomorrow night in Houston. We're going to talk about Oladipo playing against his former team. And, of course, all-stars starters were named for the NBA. Let's see how that impacts the Pacers and any of their players' chances of actually making the all-star team. But first, getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done. I've slept terrible this week. But don't worry, because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to get the sleep you deserve. CBDPM blends melatonin and other sleep-promoting ingredients with 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right and sleep better, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off on your next order when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for the West Side Community News and Forbes Sports. And today is a rare 2 days in a row day off for the Pacers. They could play the Rockets tomorrow. I'll talk more about why that's a could later. I want to preview that game. And the Rockets have none other than former Pacers all-star guard Victor Oladipo. So I want to do a little bit. I mean, it's too early to recap the trade, but just kind of looking at the early returns and adding more to the take on that. And I heard Adam kind of talked about the Pacers season yesterday, and I want to talk about it too. But first, today in the NBA, all-star starters were announced, and no Pacers are going to be all-star starters, and none were going to be, and none were. But I want to talk about how we're going to hear all-star reserves next Tuesday. I want to talk about if any Pacers can make it and if the all-star starters were right. So let's start there. That's the hottest news in the NBA, the biggest thing going on, and pretty interesting. So for those unaware, the conference starters were named yesterday, although there are no conferences in the actual all-star game. But the Western Conference starters will be Steph Curry, Luka Doncic as the guards, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard as the forwards, and Jokic as the center. That makes sense. Those are probably the five likely candidates. Damian Lillard instead of Luka Doncic would have been my personal one, but Dame's going to be on the team anyway, so no harm, no foul there, whatever. It doesn't, like, starting doesn't matter. It doesn't show up on your Hall of Fame resume that you were an all-star starter or bench player. Like, you were just an all-star. That's all it says. In the East, is also interesting. Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, the guards. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, the forwards. Joel Embiid, the center. Also pretty likely five. I was pretty low on Kyrie's chances earlier, like right when they announced how voting would happen, because he had missed so much time at the time. But he's played like literally every game since then and has played amazing. And I think he missed the game a couple nights ago, actually, against the Suns. But he's played mostly every game since then, has played fantastic, worthy candidate of a starter. My starters would have been Beal and Jaylen Brown, but once again, Kyrie would have made it anyway, thanks to his play. So no harm, no foul. They will both be all-stars. So pretty good job by the league. I think, actually, maybe Kyrie over Jaylen's fine. Anyway, pretty good job by the league structure here. It worked out. The media player and fan ranks all go into the starter, so the fan vote is 50% here, and the tiebreaker of the fan rank actually got Luka the starting spot, because Dame finished second in the player rank and the media rank, but third in the fan rank, and Luka was second in fan, third in player, third in media, but Luka gets it. So that's where the fan rank matters, is that tiebreaker. But again, starting versus not starting doesn't matter. Dame's going to be an all-star whatever. So no Pacers starters. That's what we expected. The starters are all guys we expected. Where does that leave the Pacers? Well, this isn't really any surprises, right? In my locks list, the starters are four of the first guys I even typed out when I was just like thinking of names off my head, and I moved Kyrie into the all-star spots when I did a later update of the all-stars in the conference. Again, the first time I did this, it was different because Kyrie hadn't played too many games. So there's seven bench spots. There's going to be two guards, three front court, and two backcourt, three front court, and two wild card. You got to assume Trae Young and Jaylen Brown and James Harden are getting three spots. So there's your two guards and one wild card with just those two guys. And suddenly it's already a little crowded. They're all three killing it this year. Harden's been amazing since being traded. Trae Young's been ridiculous and putting up ridiculous numbers. And Jaylen Brown has finally taken off in the way the Celtics would have hoped. So the front court spots, probably going to be Tatum, did Bam Adebayo and Chris Middleton. You could make a case for Sabonis over Bam, but it's not the best case ever. Bam's been insane for the Heat. So that just leaves the one wild card spot. And this is where the Pacers can't get involved, right? I guess you could argue Sabonis over Bam. I don't think many would. I know national media people, Pacers takes, blah, blah, blah. But every podcast talking about all-star selections, everyone is saying Bam over Sabonis. I think it's pretty clear at this point. So your candidates for this last all-star spot, you got Sabonis, Vucevic. Brogdon's out. Brogdon was fantastic for so long, but since the trade, he's just fallen off to like good starter and not all-star level guy, and he's out of the discussion. Turner's out of the discussion. So I think the guys in this discussion for the last all-star spot in the East would be Gordon Hayward, Sabonis, Vucevic, Zach LaVine, Jeremy Grant, and Julius Randle, and Ben Simmons, actually. Ben Simmons snuck his way up here. He had a 43-point game against the Jazz. So could Sabonis get in over those guys? Vuce has probably been better, Vucevic from the Magic, but the Magic have been terrible, terrible, terrible. They are 11-18. They've won 3 of their last 10 games. So not a good time to be slumping if you're trying to make a case. They've had a bunch of injuries, but the coaches vote on the reserves, which is going to be something in Sabonis' favor. That's what I was about to get to. Hayward obviously has been killing it, but if you look at the breakdown of the voting, in the media rank, which the media rank and the player rank were pretty closely aligned, and the fan rank was all over the place, but the media rank and player rank on Hayward were way different. The player rank on Hayward was 15th of the Eastern Conference front court guys, with a media rank with 7th. So he's kind of hard to evaluate. Maybe he's less thought of in the league despite having a pretty good season. So he could be leapfrogged. His team's under 500 as well. Barely, though. They're not far behind the Pacers. Calling them under 500 is a disservice to how the decency of the Hornets this year. So he's got a good case. We'll see what happens with him. Zach LaVine just killed the Pacers, averaging ridiculous stats. The Bulls record isn't awesome, but he's got a good chance just on that. Same thing with Julius Randle. The Knicks are basically being carried by him. He's putting up career highs literally across the board, doing it all for them. And Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons, ridiculous defender, great. Great setup man, and his team is absolutely killing it. So I think that the main contenders, I would say, personally, for Sabonis' spot are going to come down to Simmons and Hayward. I think Vuce has a really good case. Like, statistically, he's, and objectively, honestly, he's probably been the best of those guys I just named, but he's just something about the way that voting has been done for all of time makes me think Vucevic isn't going to get it. And I think that the way the coaches have rewarded record in the past means to me it's probably going to come down to Sabonis and Simmons, with, again, a nod to Hayward and his team being good, and Randle and his team being okay. You know, the Knicks and Hornets are the Knicks are 6th in the East and the Hornets are 8th in the East, right? So those two teams are fine and well, but I think the Pacers being 4th right now, and they could not have any other games until the reserves are selected. We'll get to that again in a moment. They could be at 4th, or even they're like a Bucks loss and a win away from being tied for 3rd. That I think that coaches often look at records, so maybe I don't think they should necessarily, but it has been a factor in the past. So I think Sabonis has a pretty good shot to get it, but I don't think I'd favor him. I think probably Simmons has a better case and is more likely, and Randle has a pretty good case as well, and LaVine's got a pretty good case as well. I would just say that you add up all the incremental percentages of all those guys, I would say it's more likely than not Sabonis doesn't get it, and I would probably say Simmons should get it myself. I think Simmons has been fantastic for a while this season, especially of late. So maybe that'll look stupid when it's all said and done, and maybe they pick Sabonis. I think, again, Sabonis has a fantastic case, as do all these guys. You know, not saying putting Sabonis under any of those guys is not a slight on Sabonis. The East is actually a crowded group this year, but we'll see what happens. I think, again, Sabonis has a great case and well-deserving. He had a fantastic game just a few nights ago against the Timberwolves. Maybe that final push will get him the spot. We'll see. Come Tuesday, if he makes the team or not, we'll cover it all, of course, here next week. But yeah, I think that they got the starters right. I think the system isn't as flawed as people think, and fan engagement is good. And we'll see if Sabonis makes it. Again, I think he's got a good shot, but he's if he makes it, he'll be the last guy. And when you're the last guy, it's always scary. There could be anything, and maybe someone opts out. There's an injury replacement. He gets in that way, which is less fun, but still becomes an all-star that way. So we'll see what happens. Who knows? But let's talk Rockets. Let's talk about why the Pacers could have a substantial gap in the schedule here. But first, let's take a little break and talk about the official betting sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is currently the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, NHL, and full swing baseball right around the corner. Pitchers and catchers just reported. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. You name it, it's all there with real-time updated odds. They've got you covered for all the news and scores. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to their website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Pacers Rockets in Houston Saturday night. So before we talk about the Rockets in a small amount of detail, let's do some background here. The Rockets played, or were supposed to play, the Dallas Mavericks in Houston on Friday. And that game got canceled postponed due to inclement weather in Houston. They are currently dealing with an energy issue in the state, and I think the Toyota Center where the Rockets play is having some issues. So that game the night before has been postponed. They didn't cancel the Pacers game in the same press release, which is definitely noteworthy. And Ben DuBose, who was on the show when the Pacers played the Rockets earlier this season and covers the Rockets for USA Today, noted that the Rockets are practicing at the Toyota Center on Friday. So that makes me think Saturday's game could happen. It's still definitely a possibility if they're able to use the facilities. But obviously the nature of you know, what's going on in the state makes things, you know, up in the air. And combined with that Monday's game the Pacers had against the Spurs is currently postponed because the Spurs are dealing with COVID contact tracing and complications. If this Rockets-Pacers game gets postponed, I mean, there we go. The Pacers will have a huge gap from Wednesday against the Timberwolves to a week later Wednesday against the Warriors. That's so rare in a season like this, especially because it's the best reason to get postponements if you're the Pacers, is you don't have COVID on your own team. So just a nice rest in the middle of the season. You can't complain about that if you're the Pacers. Obviously, you wish everyone well with all the stuff going on causing these postponements, but from a purely basketball perspective, this could be a big gap for the Pacers. Either way, the Rockets, if the game does happen, not exactly the most threatening team of late. They have lost 7 games in a row and 7 of their last 8. Injuries have really caught up with them. Struggles of some of their better players have really caught up with them. They started off really hot after the trade, and they have not been good since. They're down to 11-17. Their defense is 4th. It used to be 1st. I mean, I'm not to say their defense is bad, but it's trending in the wrong direction. Their offense is 26th. They don't have shooters on this team. They're really reliant. They have good creators. You know, Wall can really create. We all know what Oladipo can do. Christian Wood can create for himself. Eric Gordon can create for himself and a little bit of others. They've got the creators. They don't have the shooting to pair with them, and they don't have a ton of spacing, especially with their could-have-been all-star Christian Wood out. So they have just really struggled recently, and it looks like they're not going to have Wood Saturday. It's way too early to say this whole day early, but he's been being evaluated on a week-to-week basis for 13, 14 days now. It's unlikely he would go from being evaluated like that to playing. So you got to imagine he's out. P.J. Tucker missed the last Rockets game with a quad injury. Victor Oladipo missed their last game with a foot injury. Dante Exum's out for the season. They're just missing a lot of key guys, right? So in their most recent game, the Rockets played Philly. They actually played them tough. They only lost by 5, but they started John Wall, who, again, very talented, killed the Pacers earlier this season. Eric Gordon, who's good. Jayshon Tate, who's become quite good this year, great defender. And then Daniel House and DeMarcus Cousins. So that's an okay group. They've got some specialty guys. House and Tate can really defend. Cousins is a force on offense when he's engaged still, and Wall and Gordon, same thing. But, you know, that's kind of the extent of their good guys, right? Mason Jones, Ben McLemore, David Nwaba, Sterling Brown made up their bench. That's a pretty weak unit. Mason Jones on a two-way. Ben McLemore's their best shooter. And Nwaba and Brown are just like, okay, wings. You know, that's an okay team, but it's not really gonna beat you up. They were able to hang with the Sixers for a lot of the game, but weren't able to get it done. They lost that game that I'm referring to, so They're not bad. You know, I don't want to look at a 7-game losing streak and think that this team is bad. The Pacers lost to the Mavs, who were on a massive losing streak earlier this season. But they're definitely struggling right now, and they have a lot of key guys out, which could make this one interesting. So I'm just going to sell out to stop John Wall if I'm the Pacers in this one. Not that any of those other guys can't score, but Eric Gordon is very streaky. You know, he's hitting like 35% of his threes this year, but that's on 8 attempts a game. Like, maybe you kind of live with that as an option because he'll be willing to take them. And,
You don't want Boogie to run rampant on your centers. You know, you just saw Cat take over against the Pacers, and you don't want to be leaving anyone open, really. But you know, you don't want to leave Boogie open. You don't want Wall to be able to just blow to the rim and kill you like he did last time when they were focused on Harden. So I think, assuming you know Depot and Wood and maybe even Tucker are out, I'm just selling out to stop Wall completely, playing the Trae Young defense on him, make him pass, make other guys beat you. And if they do, you tip your cap and try to score enough points to keep up. But I don't think the Rockets have enough scoring. I mean, they have good scores, right? They're not a bad team, again. But I don't think they have quite enough scoring outside of Wall's creation to really keep up with the Pacers. We'll see, though. I could be wrong. So I would sell out to stop Wall personally and see if I can't get DeMarcus Cousins into foul trouble. That did happen the first time these two teams played. They're pretty light at the center position. So they're an interesting team. They've just got a lot of, like, okay guys who aren't awesome at anything outside of Wall, that is. He's awesome at a lot of stuff right now because of their injuries. So sell out to stop the awesome guy. If some of the okay guys play really good, you just lose. That's how it is. So we'll see. I think the Rockets are better than their current record and losing streak, but you are what your record says, and if Christian Wood's out there, definitely a weaker team. So the Pacers can win this game, and I predicted they'd go 2-1 this week on Monday's podcast despite picking individual wins. I'm going to explain that now because I've been thinking about it this week. Like, I would say there's probably a 70% chance they beat every team they played this week, right? Minnesota, Chicago, and Houston. But the odds of winning all three of 70% games are not very good, right? It's like whatever 70% of 0.49 is. I don't know. I'm doing stupid math in my head, but it's more likely they win two than three if there's a 70% chance they win all three games. So that's why I predicted they'd go 2-1 despite thinking they would win all three games. Anyway, I think they're going to beat the Rockets, especially if Depot's out and the emotions are removed. A lot of the emotions are removed from this game, and Wood is most likely going to be out, and he's their best player. So I think we're going to see a Pacers win, but I've been wrong before in the games on the weekend where the Pacers have been terrible all season, and it could even be canceled, so who knows? Should be interesting. I just talked about Oladipo. I want to kind of look at the trade from more angles again now that it's been a month, which is insane. I cannot believe it's been a month. So let's take one more break and do that, and let's spend this break talking about Built Bar, because Built Bar is making the best-tasting protein bars ever. They're 100% covered in chocolate, soft, and easy-to-chew protein bars. And right now, they're having a flash sale for one of their new flavors, the Coconut Puff Bar, luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow made with premium collagen protein blend, 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 6 grams of sugar, gluten-free, preservative-free, limited time, only one-day sale of the Coconut Puff Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com right now to check it out. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout, you'll get 20% off your next order. These things are delicious. I seriously cannot stop eating them. Go to BuiltBar.com with that promo code LOCKEDON right now. You'll get 20% off your next order again. LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. This is probably the last time this season, unless Vic gets traded again, which is possible, but this is probably the last time this season we'll talk about this Vic trade until maybe Karis returns, because they play this weekend. It's a storyline of the game, potentially, if Vic plays. Is Vic against his old team? And I'm curious to see how he does and what kind of emotions set in for him. And Karis can't play, obviously, but definitely something to monitor. I'm sure Steven Silas, the Rockets coach, will get some questions about it pregame. But Adam was talking yesterday on his podcast about, you know, on his postgame show, excuse me, his podcast, on the postgame show about, you know, this season and what the trade kind of meant for what they're doing this season. And I don't think he said the words throwaway season. Maybe he specifically did. I don't agree with that. And where he's coming from is that making a trade of a healthy Oladipo, who was playing well for the Pacers, in exchange for LeVert, who they could have waived the trade. They shouldn't have waived the trade. It was a great trade to go get a long-term piece and 2 second-round picks for a guy who's going to leave. But anyway, doing that trade sort of punts on your season. One, I totally disagree with that notion, because LeVert's going to come back this season. Bjorkren talked about not that long ago that the timelines for Warren and LeVert are, he's talking this season. And two, Oladipo hasn't been that good since he got traded, right? He started off really hot for the Rockets. He had 32 and 22 in their first two games. But since being traded, Victor Oladipo's stats, he has played in 11 games. He's averaging 18.4 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists on 38.6% shooting from the field, 29.9% shooting from deep, and 75% from the line, 2.5 turnovers per game. So this, he's still better than last year, but those numbers are all worse than they were with the Pacers, and they're closer to last year Depot than this year Depot, right? This year with the Pacers, Depot was at 42% from the field, 36 from three, and 73% from the line, averaging 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. So he's passing a little more with the Rockets, but his shooting efficiency is kind of cratered. I keep a few of the Rockets games I've caught and a few of the tweets I've seen from people who cover the Rockets show that he still has some of those nights where it's very obvious what times he's shooting when he catches the ball or when he's looking for a shot. Still has some of those, you know, high turnover games. He had 4 against the Spurs and a 5-point loss just a few weeks ago. He had 7 in his debut with this team, his new team. So I think that some of the calculus of thinking of the trade the way Adam was describing yesterday ignores that if Depot had been on the team, yeah, sure, they would be better than not having anyone at that position. Like, I'm not going to deny that. And, you know, their record with Depot was pretty good, but he hasn't played as well as he did pre-trade since the trade. That's certainly part of the calculus. And I think that my biggest disagreement with him is just, again, that LeVert's going to be back this season at some point. So, you know, you're weathering a storm and you're definitely hurting your record, but that's not a throwaway season. You're just pushing back the timeline of when a guy's going to return. But I think that no matter what we think of how it affects this season, and it sucks if you're, you know, really wanting to see this team succeed right now. And I've talked about how maybe it hurts a little bit that you're wasting is not a word I want to use, but, you know, hindering a Sabonis season. And maybe it recovers when LeVert returns and it doesn't matter. But, you know, that's a bummer, but I think that the long-term focus with an expiring contract is always how you should think, right? Like if Doug McDermott was being offered like a high-quality young player and picks in return, like, yeah, you do it every time, and McDermott, honestly, may be more impactful than Oladipo this season. So I think it's a no-brainer trade, especially when you consider LeVert's probably going to come back at some point this season, and LeVert, we know how talented he can be when he plays. We'll have to see how he fits and if he can reach Depot's level of scoring and impact that he had earlier this season. But I think that it was absolutely the right trade for the Pacers, even if the short-term ramifications kind of are really hurting. And a big factor in their record has been that they traded a player who plays and is healthy for a player who currently is not playing. But I think it was the right move, and I'm really happy that Depot is finding a place that he can have the ball at, and who knows where his future ends up, but I think it's kind of a win for every party involved. So I have no misgivings about the trade a few weeks later, right? I haven't changed my opinion of it at all, and I definitely don't think this is a wasted season. Not that I'm bashing Adam's take. I think it's an interesting thought to think, you know, I've brought it up before how you got to kind of go for it in the Sabonis era, but I don't think his take is necessarily like irrational or anything like that. I just wanted to discuss my side of that and the other side of it, and especially because the Oladipo's playing this team, I think it's a good time to discuss this stuff. But, you know, maybe he plays and plays awesome and he's inspired, and we'll see how it goes. And I'm excited to see all the handshakes. You know, it was cool last week to see all the guys be really happy to see Nate McMillan when they played the Hawks. And McMillan's actually head coaching for a few games. Lloyd Pierce stepped away. The Hawks beat the Celtics, so good for him. But I'm sure we'll see similar levels of handshakes between Vic and some of the Pacers teammates. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But all in all, like I said earlier, I think we're going to see a Pacers win, and then we can bury this storyline for a long time. But thank you guys so much for listening. I hope everybody has a great weekend. If you have any questions or anything you want to talk about on the show, just let us know on Twitter at LockedOnPacers. You can follow me at TEastNBA. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and we will see you on Monday.